What would happen to you if you got a phone call and found out that your husband was just hit by a drunk driver? Worse than that, he had a truck, and your husband had 3 hours to live. What would you do? How would your world be changed? Well, what Clarice Holden did is so amazing to me that I know the story, I know the results, and I'm still in awe over what Clarice did. But I want to go back a little bit. Ronnie, your dad was an alcoholic. You were an alcoholic. You were into drugs. And your wife gets religion. What did you think about her?
Well, I thought she had completely lost her mind.
But did you give her a hard time?
Oh, absolutely. All I could, I gave her a hard time. I didn't believe what she was doing.
Oh, okay. You had a prophecy. In other words, a man said, I have a message for you from God. What was that message?
He said, the last 2 years have been a living hell, but the next two were going to be even worse.
Oh, no. How would you like to get a word like that?
It was not good at the beginning, but he finished by saying, he says, but your husband will be on his deathbed, flat of his back, all alone, and he will see the salvation of God. He will have a visitation from God. And I said, how in the world is this going to happen? He will not speak to a Christian. You know, whenever something like that happened, I just could not picture it. But that's the way it happened.
Okay, Ronnie, tell me about the day, the moment this prophecy came to pass.
It was in 1984. It was February 17th. I was lying in bed, and somehow I just woke up. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was laying in bed. I was in rehab. And I looked up and the room was like white, like clouds were in the room. And this man was standing over the bed. And to me, it looked like a picture I had seen in the Bible of Jesus when I was a young boy. And he just stood there and put his hands out to me. And I didn't really realize what was going on. But at that time, I was delivered of alcohol and drugs and things in my life.
Now, when you say delivered, how bad was your alcohol addiction?
I drank all the time. I'd stay out 2 or 3 days. I had blackouts. I drank pretty much most of the time.
But you can't, you understand now, you can't instantly lose an addiction like that. Are you telling me instantly you lost this addiction?
Well, I didn't think so either. I had tried so many different ways to lose it, and I didn't realize that it really happened. But when I got up and went outside, I started thinking about alcohol and thinking about drugs. And I physically got nauseated even thinking about it. And I had no desire for it at all.
What kind of drugs were you on?
I was addicted to cocaine. I did a half a gallon.
Again, you can't just walk away from cocaine. You had a real miracle.
In a natural world, you can, but I had a miracle, and I wasn't really expecting anything. It was to happen to me. I'd never heard of anything like that before. I never knew anybody that happened to. But you know, I cried out, and I knew I was going to die. And I only had one chance. I had heard about religion or God, but I didn't think he'd help me because, you know, I was a mean person. I was a bad person. And I had no idea God would help me, but as a last resort, after I tried everything else, I cried to God. So I'm going to die. I'm not going to make it. I only have a few more days to live the way I'm living my life. And that happened. And it changed my life.
Clarice, when he told you this story, what went on inside of you?
Well, first I got a call from him. He says, will you bring me a Bible? I'm like, oh my goodness, yes, I'll bring you a Bible. And I got there, I was so excited. It was just amazing. It was what I had always dreamt of and prayed for. And to see him acting different, and he just played this game. He would take that Bible and he would open it up and he would point and whatever he wanted. God was so supernaturally just showed him what he wanted to see. And it was the answer he needed at that time.
Listen. You got not only a brand new husband, yes. God began to prosper the two of you
yes.
beyond. I mean, tell me just briefly, Clarice, how he prospered you financially.
Well, first of all, he restored our marriage. That was number one, which was wonderful. And then our restaurant it flourished. You know, God really did. He just showed Ronnie how to go in and change things in the menu and in the restaurant, and it just started prospering. And then we opened a clothing business. And that has been phenomenal. God has just blessed both of them. And we have invested in real estate, and it's been good. And it's really been great. It really has.
I mean, it sounds almost like a storybook romance. The marriage is restored. The finances are being showered. Ronnie, you're hearing from God on how to prosper in your business. And then on May 8th, 2000, he gets hit by a drunk driver in a car. The driver's in a truck. You literally catapulted out of your car? Did you have your seatbelt on?
I have a seatbelt on it. It broke it off the back of the seat and threw me out the passenger window.
And then you go out the passenger window, and the truck comes rolling over and just stops short
right.
of falling on you, but it didn't matter. You had everything imaginable wrong with you. I mean, the doctors actually said 3 hours to live. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Clarice and Ron Holden. And Clarice, you were on cloud nine because God had restored your marriage, prospered your business, and then instantly, your husband is hit with a drunk driver. A truck plows into him. He had what, a broken neck? What else did you know?
His neck was broken in two places. His leg was shattered. His pelvis was broken. His liver was torn. His kidney was bruised.
What she didn't know was there were some even worse things going on. She got to the hospital, and about a week later, she sees that there's something seriously wrong and these doctors aren't taking care of it. And yes, what she just described was bad, but there was something, you knew there was something even worse going on. What'd you do about it?
Well, I told them, I said, he is irrational. I mean, I could not make him understand anything. And so I said, we have got to do something. We've got to have an MRI, a CAT scan or something. They brought someone in, and as soon as they did the CAT scan, here comes the doctor running down the hall. Miss Holden, we've got an emergency. Your husband has a crack in his intestines, and it is seeping into his system all week, and he is poisoning, and it will kill him if we don't do surgery immediately. And so they went into surgery. He was in surgery from 5.5 to 6 hours. And the doctor came in after that, and he said to me, he says, we've done everything we can do. He's in a coma, he's on life support, he has a colostomy, and he is wide open because when we did the surgery, his insides came out, and we were not able to close him back. So we have a net over him. He says, Ms. Holden, you need to go home and get your affairs in order. Your husband will not make it through the night.
Stop. He said, when he said that to you, your husband will not make it through the night, what came out of your mouth?
I said, I just know that he will. I knew that he would. And I said, I need you to get in agreement with me that I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe God that he will give you the wisdom to do what it takes to get him well.
But wait a second, the doctor just said he's not going to make it through the night, and you say to the doctor, I want you to agree you're gonna have wisdom to get him well. I mean, these two are not computing. What did he say to you?
He says, Ms. Holden, I can't do that. He says, now, seriously, it's bad. 3 hours is what it's gonna, he's gonna be here. It'll last about 3 hours. And I said, I just would not take it for a no for an answer. But he walked out of the room, And I went to the chapel and I got by myself. And when I was coming out of that chapel about an hour later, this doctor's coming by. And I approached him and I asked him again to please agree with me that I was going to pray. And I would believe God would give him wisdom. And he said he would agree with me. And we started praying. I says, now tell me, what is the first thing that we need to get him through? What is it going to take to get him through this night? And he told us. And we went to prayer with this. And we stood. And when we got through the night, the next morning the doctor says, well, we made it through the night. I said, yes, and we're going to make it through the day too. So it just progressed. Every day, things were happening, and they would get worse. They'd tell us what we needed. We would tell the prayer team, and we would pray, and things would ease off. I also, in turn, told my family. I said, we are not going to lose. I don't want anybody saying, poor Ronnie. We are going to believe he is going to come out of this. And if you don't believe the way I'm believing, you cannot come in to see him. And I stood there and I just stood guard. And it was like I would not let anybody in. But I kept praying and just making sure that things were positive.
How many days did you stay in the hospital with him?
52 days.
Did you ever leave the hospital?
I didn't go home.
Why?
Because that's my husband. I cannot leave him there. And I wasn't going to leave him. And the doctor kept saying to me, Miss Holden, you need to go get rest. I said, when he goes home, I'll go home. And that's what I meant. And, I just knew that I had to be there every moment. And there were real bad times. I mean, Ronnie, he was crashing, and there were code blues, and his kidneys would shut down, his different things would happen, and it was a moment by moment fight.
There had to be one point, though, at least, or many points, when you thought, oh, it's just too hard, he's not going to make it, I'm tossing in the towel, I'm going home.
I didn't say I was going home, but I did have a night that I lost all hope for just a moment.
Briefly tell me.
I just knew. I felt like someone said to me, you got to plan your husband's funeral. Well, it just made me so mad. I acted like a crazy person. I started beating on the walls. I said, I will not. I will not. And I got what was in my head into my heart. I said, he is going to be well, and he's going to go home, and he's going to be fine. And I fought that night, and the next morning, he started getting better.
Listen, it says in the scriptures, in God's presence, all things are possible. Well, not only was Clarice in God's presence, so are you. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Clarice and Ron Holden. And Ron was hit by a drunk driver. Truck plowed into his car. He got catapulted out of the car. He had everything imaginable wrong, to the point where the doctor said, Mrs. Holden, go home, put your affairs in order. He has 3 hours to live. This woman tenaciously held on. She started giving the doctor's orders. She started saying, will you be in agreement that my husband will live and not die? And the doctor said no. But finally, this mad woman is pestering him, so he agrees with her. Then she says, and I want to be in on every meeting. She stayed in that hospital 52 days praying with herself and others and church members. There was prayer going on in their church. The whole hospital was aware of what was going on. But there was one tough night, and you were singing with a friend, worshiping God, and all of a sudden, someone joined you. Tell me about that.
Well, we were I mean, he was, it was really touch and go that night. And I was not comfortable waiting in the waiting room. I went to the intensive care wait at the door. And we were just walking and praying and singing, you know, just really everything we were given, everything we had. And all of a sudden we were saying, and we were saying, well, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And in the background, we heard somebody say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And I turned and there was a lady and she was mopping. And she was mopping as she was walking and she was praying with us. And there was an elevator right behind us, and the elevator would come up and the doors would open, nobody would go out. And then it would go out and then it'd come back, and she kept right on doing this. I never thought anything about it that night. But the next day, I said, I wanted to talk to that lady because she really seemed to encourage us. You know, she helped us with our prayer. Nobody had ever heard of this lady in the hospital. I explained what she looked like. Nobody had seen her. And, you know, I just didn't, we just couldn't answer that question.
What happened with Ron as of that moment when she came in?
Well, that night, he took the turn for the better. And he started getting better.
So if no one knew this cleaning woman, that leaves, that was an angel.
Well, we believe it was.
Okay, Ron, speaking of an angel, you had a horrible experience while this was going on. The angel of death came in. Tell me briefly what occurred.
Well, I didn't realize who he was to begin with. I had other angels in my room, three angels, and they were there. And
you're having all these angels, and your wife is in war. I mean, you had the better deal.
I did. Well, I was lying in bed, and I saw this man come in the door. He was like 7 foot tall. He had a real nice Armani suit on, it looked like. He started walking towards the bed, and he turned and went and leaned against the wall. And I really had this bad feeling about him. He came in, and he stood against the wall and just stared at me. And then he started to the bed, and the other angels, the other people in the room stood up and talked to him and said something to him. And he glanced at me, and then he turned and went back out the door. And I felt such relief when he left.
But there was another point where the angels were giving you a choice. Well, what was the choice?
I think it probably was the night they said, you know, a couple more nights, they said, we'll not live through the night. They told me, they said, we're getting ready to leave and to make a trip to the other side. If you're ready, we want you to go with us, and you'll never hurt again. You'll never have any pain. And my wife, she told me later, she had been talking lightly to me to fight. She said, I had to fight. Everyone was fighting for me. Everyone was praying for me. I need to fight.
And out of curiosity, being in the coma and everything, and literally dying, could you, even though you were in that coma, could you hear anything going on with your wife?
Well, apparently I could, because I told them, I said, no, my wife is waiting for me. She's calling me back to the hospital. She wants me to come back, and I really need to go back.
Clarice, what were you saying about that time?
Well, again, we'd done everything and nothing was moving. So I just went in and I was praying, but I walked around that room. I says, Ronnie, you have got to fight. I've done everything I can do. You have got to fight. And I was like screaming at him. But, you know, we didn't.
You just don't look like that kind of person. So, okay, Ronnie, so you're saying my wife, what did you say? My wife needs me?
My wife wants me to come back. She's been calling me back. I really need to go back to her. I can't leave right now.
So you literally had a choice.
I did. I had a choice, absolutely. And I've never heard of that before. And I don't know why I was given that choice.
A miracle transpired. And although the doctor said 3 hours to live, although there was no human rationale, Clarice grabbed hold of the promises of God and refused to give up. Tell me about the day that Ronnie walked out of the hospital.
Well, as you know, they have to roll you out. So I'd spoken to a lady in the hospital, and I asked her, could she sing a song? And she said she would. And as they pushed him out on the sidewalk there, the sidewalk was lined with doctors, nurses, physical therapists, janitors, and everything. This lady started singing Amazing Grace. because we knew it was God that did this. It was, and the doctors even knew. They called him their miracle boy.
The doctors used the word miracle boy?
Yes, they
okay,
did.
What about that doctor that you had to literally twist his arm to agree that Ronnie would live and he'd have some hope? What did he say after Ronnie walked out?
Well, he was very shocked. And he was very thankful, though. He saw our pastor there one day, and he says, who are you here to see? He says, not Ronnie. He says, another member of our church. He said, well, he'll be just fine then. You are a praying group of people. And that was very special to us. And he saw a difference. And he saw a miracle. And we're just so thankful.
Some of you need a miracle right now. Some of you are giving up, but God knows what's going on in your life. That's why he's going to have Clarice look into the camera and in 1 minute give them encouragement.
If you have been given a sentence of death or anything that does not line up with what the Word of God says, you take a stand. You fight for what is rightfully yours. You stand for what you know that is right. And if it's your husband, if it's a loved one, if it's a doctor that has told you that they can't, it's not curable, do not take that for an answer. You do what you have to do to get through that. And if your person in your family is not where they need to be, you stand until it happens. And someone asked me, how long do you stand? You stand till it happens. That's what we did, and that's why he's here today. And we thank God for it.
Ronnie, is there any way that you would be alive today based on what occurred if your wife had not been tenaciously believing God's promises?
No, I know there's not. She stood for me.
So listen, don't give up. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The only evidence that is valid and spends in heaven is faith in God's word. And God says, you shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to speak that again to you. You shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. That's what Clarice and Ronnie Holden are doing. They're witnesses that God is bigger than what you see with your eyes. God's word is true. Let every man be a liar, but God's word is true. People are being physically healed of all sorts of pain right now, especially in the neck. Move your head, you'll see that pain is gone. In the back, it's healed. Anything you need, it's yours in Jesus' name.